14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let's be seated. Pastor Ron, it's all yours.
All right, so good morning. As we try to get these slides up here a little bit today, I just want to open up. I just want to pray for us just one more time. Just think about, like, I love this section of Scripture, this chapter here about in the book of James, because to me it really starts to bring to light this focus of how it is, like last week, how it is that we react and what it is that we do as Christians. Last week, I kind of wanted to draw on this idea of, you know, like, what is it that actually motivates us to do things for the gospel or for the kingdom of God? What motivates us in that? And it's our relationship with God. It's the way that we look back and we can see the love and his kindness and the things that God has done for us and how great of a motivator that can be. And today, I kind of wanted to switch gears a little bit and start to focus on why it is that the works, like what it is that we do, actually matters. Why it is that there's some significance. And I think that means a lot just because, like, what we do really matters. Just like when you think when you ask somebody or you start off a conversation with somebody, it's very quickly that you, like, one of the first things that usually come up with that conversation when it's a new person is, like, you start to figure out what their profession is, like what their work is, what they do for a living type of thing. And the reason is because, like it kind of matters. It's a significant thing. It's something that's really important to them. So I wanted to, just like I said, just open us up in prayer a little bit as we reflect back on this sermon I'll call Works Matter, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19 up there. So let me go ahead and open us up in prayer again. So Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for the giftings that you have given us, the ability to serve you, Jesus. Lord, that is such a privilege and such an honor. Lord, that is where we feel complete. That is where we feel whole. When we know that we are working and doing the things that you desire us to do, Lord, it is fun to see the fruit of our labor, Lord, and to be able to enjoy that. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you let us partake in that mission, Lord, and that commission, that calling that to spread your gospel, your word to the entire world. So, Lord, I'm so thankful for that mission and that call. So, Lord, I just pray that you be with us this early morning as we dive into your word. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So up here last month, I had the opportunity of going to Momentum, which was down in Indiana, and we had an opportunity to go to Indianapolis. So this right here is just a picture from Indianapolis. It was the first time that I had ever actually been in the city. And one of the cool things that was there is this is the Soldiers and Sailors Monument. It's just a really amazing monument. Like, I've seen a lot of them, you know, in the past. Like, I've traveled, been to New York, D.C., and seen a lot of them. But this was probably one of my favorite ones that I've actually ever seen. It's very wonderfully maintained. Like, it's absolutely beautiful, the architecture and everything that goes on it. But we went down there with the purpose and the intention of going into Indianapolis, into Indiana, because we had this desire. We were going to share our faith with people there on the street in Indiana. So we went down there to Indiana, and that was a picture that I took while we were there, right before we decided to go out and start to share and share our faith with people that were there on the street. On the street. Right here's another picture, just a close up. This is part of the group that I went out there. A group of students that go here to our church. They didn't know that they were about to be in the sermon today, but there's a lot of things that they didn't know about this day. So you still see the monuments there in the background, and you know, it's kind of hard to see their face, but you know, they got all these smiles on, and you think it's because they're having, you know, a wonderful day, and they're super excited, and they're in Indianapolis, and they're happy about to being able to share their faith. But the truth of the matter is, they're absolutely terrified right now. Might not be able to tell by the picture, but inside they are shaking. So the reason that they're shaking is because this picture is actually taken by a complete stranger. And as soon as he's returning the phone, their mission is they're going to open up and start a gospel conversation with the man who just took their picture. And so I know that they're just smiling, but there's probably a million thoughts that are going through their head right then and there about what it is that they're going to say or how it is that they're going to share this gospel in a way that's definitely outside of their comfort zone and different than anything that they've probably done before. But they were like I said, but they have this desire to do it. That's why they signed up for the trip. That's why we had some conversations before that about, like, I know I'm kind of nervous. I'm uncomfortable about sharing my faith in this way, but I believe it's really important, and I believe that it's what I'm compelled to and called to by the gospel call that's in the Bible. So I actually want to step out my faith and share my faith with, or step out in faith and share my faith with other individuals, even though I know that it's kind of an uncomfortable situation. So later on that day, I was so proud of our students, but later on that day, as we're kind of walking through the city of Indianapolis, I come across another individual, and you know, we've been talking to people about Jesus throughout the day, and he's just kind of, you know, leisurely walking, like, oh, he's not in a hurry, he doesn't have a rush or anything that he's really expecting to do. So me, I'm like, this looks like a good person to talk to. He's not in a rush. Maybe we can have a conversation and we could just figure out, like, where his faith is, and we could talk about Jesus some. So I walk up to the individual, and I open up and we start to kind of have this dialogue, you know, talking about the day, talking about, you know, the city of Indianapolis and how it's so great. And we start getting in this conversation, and all of a sudden, like I start to turn it more towards spiritual matters and start to ask, like, the city, like, what would you say, like, some of the spiritual needs are in the city and, like, what's going on there? And this man just absolutely opened up. He was like, oh, this city right here really, really needs Jesus. And he started going on and on about, like, all the problems that people have with drug abuse and alcoholism and just, like, all the different sex trafficking. Like, he just started getting into all these things, and he said but he started to get, like, this rage in him. He's like, the people in this city are no good. Like, they're not worth the time. Like, he just started going on and all this stuff, and, like, his language was very coarse. And for me, it was like maybe somewhere around, like, the third F-bomb, I started to think to myself, like, maybe this person doesn't quite have a relationship with Jesus. So the whole time I'm thinking, like, I can't wait to kind of get to the point where I'm able to share my faith with this guy. But he's going on, and he keeps saying, like, man, this city really needs God. Like, they're no good. They're da-da-da. Like, just really putting everybody down in this negative way with this very coarse language. And I finally kind of get to the point in the conversation where I start to ask him, I'm like, well, what about yourself? And, you know, and your spiritual needs and your need for Jesus. And he kind of looks at me in a second in like this weird way. And he kind of realized, like, this entire time I've kind of been wanting to talk to him about God. And he's like, oh, I know. So his words were like, oh, I know God. Like, I have a relationship with Jesus. And he kind of walks off like, I get it. Like, you almost talked to me something about Jesus. And it's kind of like, I'm glad I kind of avoided that conversation from going any further. But anyways, I very quickly began to see, like, these two distinctions between the man that I kind of met on the street and my students that I was working and walking the city streets with. On the one hand, like, we have this individual who's saying, like, he understands and sees the need that this city has for needs for the gospel or for God or to act or do things in a different way. But there's really no like heart commitment for him in any kind of way to do that or model that or reach people in any kind of way. And then we have these students who are also like just very uncomfortable in their situation of what they're about to do, but they're stepping out in faith saying that I'm going to actually carry out my faith and do something, which is actually sharing, passing out water on like the hottest day that I think I've experienced in the last 10 years. It was like 94 degrees down there with a heat index above 100. But they were out there passing out water doing that just because they knew that their faith was something that was really important to share. And they wanted to actually carry out and do the good works that they felt God was compelling and calling them to do. So like I said, we can kind of see a big distinction between the two people there. Though they're both saying, they're claiming this common faith in Christ, one of them is carrying out works. One, it seems like there's not too much fruit that's going along with it. And this is what James is kind of bringing the distinction between. He's like saying there's these two different types of faith almost, if you would. And this is what he says in James chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can that type of faith save him?" So what James is generally saying, or what he's trying to bring out here, bring to the surface of this, is like, if you have a belief, if there's something that you have a heart belief in, what you're going to do is you're actually going to act out what you believe. The natural thing to do, if you have a belief, if it's an actual belief, it's something that you are going to act out. There's going to be a manifestation of it. There's going to be a way that you go about doing things that is actually physically like doing something. Not just an intellectual belief or in anything along those lines, but it's an actual something that you're going to act out. So sometimes I think it's very easy for us, and again, like kind of thinking like the man on the street, it's very easy for us to have an intellectual understanding of things. Like when you think about like, maybe I grew up in the church and I went to Sunday school a lot. Like I know all the different stories in the Bible. I know the Ten Commandments very well. Or maybe you went to a Christian school or something like that along those lines. And you have a very good understanding of what it is that's in the Bible. You have this very good intellectual knowledge of what's in there and what's actually contained in the Bible. But all James is saying is that, you know, there's a difference between having an intellectual understanding of what's contained in the scripture and having an actual heart belief about what the scripture says. And he says where that will be evidenced is in the way that you act things out. You'll act out what you believe. I always think there's a lot of good examples of people like we know things and we have a good mindset, like we understand things, but if we're not acting them out, is that really a belief that we're closing close to our heart? That's what James is really trying to bring to the surface here, is like, we will always act out what we believe. Our heart, what we, not just the head knowledge, but what our heart is going on in there, there will always be some kind of action or something that you act out in the sense of what it is which you believe. So kind of move on, kind of question to part two is how is it that you could tell, or we could tell us that if I'm having just a head knowledge of something, or if I'm having an actual heart belief, like what are some of the differences between those two things, having a head knowledge and an actual heart belief? So this is where it kind of kicks in with James with the next couple verses here. So James says, "If a brother or a sister is naked, without clothes, and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what good does that profit?" I really love the way that this comes up next. He's like, what good is it if you have an intellectual knowledge, you know this person has no food, you know this person is ill-clothed, you know this person does not have the clothing, the food, the necessities that they need. What good does it if you know that they don't have that, and you being able to maybe do something about it, you don't interact with that at all. What good is it if you see them in the situation, but you don't help or contribute or do anything about that? There's not any way that you're actually investing in them. So genuine faith always calls for a genuine investment. I love what James is saying. He's like, I do see these people that are struggling in their situation, but what good is your faith if your faith is not compelling you to actually do something for them when you can? What kind of faith is that? So that's where faith says, or what James says, you know, that kind of faith, this faith by itself, if it does not have those works, James just calls it simply, he says, that's faith is dead. That faith is not beneficial in that sense. It's not helping. It's not beneficial or helping or doing what real actual faith is supposed to do. So genuine faith is calling for a genuine investment. So if we act out what we believe, what would it mean that if we would never act at all on anything that the Bible would say? I always say, like, that's just a really good question to ask myself. Like, if I am believing the scripture and the things that are contained in the Bible, what does it mean if in my life there's nothing that's ever really acted out on what the Bible says or what it believes? What does that say about my faith if my faith is actually represented by what it is, the way that I act out, if we always act out what it is that we believe? So I can kind of think of some different scenarios like this. Like, what is it, like, when we think, what is it if we know in the scripture that we're supposed to be kind, that we're supposed to be patient, that we're supposed to be careful and guard our tongues and what we speak and how we speak to people? What does it mean if we know that that's how we're supposed to be, but that's just something that we never do? If that every time, you know, there's a political person that has a different viewpoint than we do, what if there's always hostility that comes out of us? Or what if our natural reaction is to always be angered and frustrated all at the time of that? What is that saying about our faith? There's probably an underlying question or something that's underneath there that maybe we need to actually think about and deal with if what we do, if what we act out is actually representative of what we believe. I can think of another one. Like, what is it if you would say, you have a situation or you think that maybe there should be this place where you might have like actually just lost sight in some kind of way of what it actually means to live a life that is glorifying and honoring God. I could never think of another one. Like, what about if it's a situation where we know the importance of the scripture? We know how significant it is that people have a relationship with Jesus, but that is just something that we never, ever share at all. If every time there's an opportunity at work or somebody in your life to actually open up and start a conversation about Jesus, what if we avoid that and always shy away and never do that? What is that saying about our underlying beliefs that we might actually hold? And James is saying that we want to actually investigate a little bit more. Maybe it's something simple like it's saying, you know what, I know that that's important, but I don't act on it because I have an underlying belief that I'm not significant enough to be able to share the gospel. Maybe I have an underlying belief that I'm not good enough, that I'm lacking in some kind of way, that I'm prepared, that God cannot use me. These are the things like James, like, I want us to approach these underlying beliefs that we might have by that are coming out by our action or by our lack thereof it. Maybe it's saying, like, the reason I struggle or I can't share the gospel is maybe because I don't believe that that's the only way that people would be saved is by Jesus Christ. Maybe there's an underlying belief that's over there that James is saying simply, like, just go ahead and look into it, because in any kind of way, wherever there's an actual investment, like whenever there's an actual genuine belief, there's always going to be an action and an investment that actually goes along with it as well. And so for us, this is where I really think that the rubber meets the road for us at the church or for us as believers, because it's very easy for us to always have really good intentions for people. It's really easy for us to always really wish the people, just like James is saying, like, I believe what he's saying. The people there, they genuinely wish people were clothed, or they genuinely wish that they were fed well, or they had more. But James is saying, I think that us as a church, like, we genuinely have these good beliefs and these things that we want for people, but sometimes we just get afraid or kind of back away from the actual call, which is to go forward and do the good work of serving those people in some kind of way whenever you see it. So I know this one is kind of hard to read here, but what it says is, what we do will always reveal who we are. So let's go ahead and read verse 18 where James is saying here. He says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So when he's saying right this is, as he's coming to this point right here, James, and he's making this distinction of, you know, the differences. He's saying, I know the difference between just having an intellectual knowledge and having an actual heartfelt belief about what the gospel says and what it is that it's actually compelling me to do. And he's saying, what will happen here is that my actions are actually going to do a whole lot to reveal who I am or what it is that I believe as well. So I think this is great, but we have this tendency sometimes, I think, to really play it safe in different ways. Like, it's really easy for us to look and see that somebody is struggling or there's a hardship that's going on, and to have this intellectual knowledge of it and to kind of really play it safe and not engage or actually invest with that person too much. But on the contrary, like, the gospel is saying, I know, what you're actually being called to do, though, is to step out in faith and actually interact with them in a much deeper way. God is more concerned about us stepping out in an uncomfortable way where maybe we can actually invest in that person's life and actually have relationships so that those relationships are able to withstand the weight of truth. Instead of having a relationship or just a knowledge of something and something's going on with somebody, but actually being able to invest with them to the point where we have a relationship and we can share the gospel and that they can understand and know where it is that we're coming from and how God has cared and loved for them as well. And that's why I think when we see in the early church over and over and over again, their prayers and the things that they're asking for, more than anything else, it's for boldness. What does it mean to actually have boldness when we're interacting with people? To have boldness means that they're praying, we have the courage that I can actually act out, that I can do the things that I know God has put up on my heart. I'm praying that if we have boldness, if God would give us boldness, it's not so that I can intellectually understand what's going on. I'm praying for boldness so that I can actually step out in faith and do what I know God has placed on my heart. I can interact with these people that are suffering, and I can show my faith in all its genuineness, actual faith in the reality of the faith that I have by the actions and by the good works that I have, that I can do for people. That's why I say, like, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, something I would say my absolute big life verse is Jesus when he says, you know, he says, you know what? What would you need to do is when we're interacting with people, I want you to know that let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He says, let them see your good works, that they might glorify your Father's in heaven, that they might glorify your Father that's in heaven. Last point that I wanted to bring up here today is really captured here in verse 18, where he says, but some of you say that you have faith, or verse 19, I'm sorry. He says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So what is it that that he's trying to bring out, that James is trying to bring out in this conversation when he's saying that you say, when he says that you believe that there is one God and you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. So what he's doing is he's kind of doing a play on this faith that only has a shallow conviction. He's saying, yes, there are demons who have this perfect head knowledge of who God is. They know that Jesus is king. They know that he is Lord. They know that he is God. The only difference, because they know this, but the only difference is they have not placed him. They don't have a heart for God, though. They know of God, but have no heart for God. There's a big difference. It's just an intellectual understanding of who God is, but in no way do they have the heart to acknowledge and place God as Lord over their life. And it's the same exact situation that I think we can find ourselves in too. It's so easy to have a good head knowledge, to have a good understanding of what's contained in the Bible, what Scripture says, what's going on there. But God is saying, like, all that is useless if you don't actually have a heart for me. If you know everything about me, or you know all the things about the Lord, everything about Jesus, what his sacrifice was, how he died, it's great that you know that you have an intellectual knowledge about it. But what really matters is if you've made him at the heart level Lord over your heart, Lord over your life. Big difference between just knowing that and actually acting out, believing, knowing from the heart standpoint that this is who God is, and I'm stepping out and putting my heart belief in God in that way. So I just wanted to close here with us with just a little bit of something that I think we can really to look back and kind of study over. And it's Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. So what this is this is a call in Hebrews. It's really coming. The author is trying to draw this distinction where he says, what is it that we can do to really make sure that we're moving on to the next level or to the next place in our faith, that we're not kind of stagnant going over the same thing? And what he does is he lays out some foundational beliefs that he says that we as Christian people should have. And these foundational beliefs are, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation, these foundational beliefs, things that we should understand of the repentance from dead works, which means understanding that it's not my works that actually gives me salvation in God. My works matter for how I live out and interact with the people in my life, but that's not what actually gives me salvation. What gives me salvation is my belief and my faith in Christ, repentance from dead works, and a faith towards God, foundational belief. If I believe in the Scripture, I believe in the sacrifices of Jesus, what would my works actually look like? What he's saying, we believe in the repentance from the dead works, the faith towards God, that it's his sacrifice alone that is why we are saved and why we can have eternal life. But still, that's something we want to reflect and live that way. And that's where it comes along next. The doctrines of baptism, foundational belief that I understand that though it's not the baptism that saves me, it is my confession of faith, my being obedient to the call of God, that the work does have a significance, that it does matter what I do, and that I want to live out my faith publicly, foundational belief that we have. And then on to the laying on of hands, which is talking about being within a biblical community. Love this one too. It's another huge one. What does it mean? What's an action, a work that we can do that shows that we are part of this, is we can actually be part of a biblical Bible-believing community, that we're around other believers. But the laying on of hands, and of course of the resurrection of the dead, believing that as Christ died, because of his death, I will be resurrected with him if I put my heart belief and my faith in him. Foundational belief. And then lastly, and of course, of eternal judgment. Do I believe that God is coming back to judge everything, to make sure that this world is put back perfectly, and that everything will have to be made an account of and account for. Foundational beliefs. And this is what I would say with this. When we look over these foundational beliefs of what it is that we believe about God, what should our actions look like to show that we believe in that? Because it's very easy to, you know, say that you have this knowledge and believe these different things. But if these are truly a heartfelt heart belief, there's going to be a way that this impacts our life. And it's going to be a way that it actually shows up in the way that we interact with people, those around us, our community, the way that we carry out our Christian walk in our life of faith. All that to say, it is the works, what we do, it has a significance, and it matters, because that's how we're impacting and we're helping people. It's not that it saves us by our works in any kind of way, but our works do have of great significance and a great value for people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you do give us the ability, Lord, to serve you in all kinds of different ways. Father, it's my prayer today, Lord, that we would just have the courage and the ability to be honest and sit before you. And Lord, just ask, what is it that you would like us to do, in the sense of how is it that we can allow our light to shine before men, that they might see our good works and glorify you, Father, who are in heaven. Father, I just pray that would be with us today. And Lord, we would know that our faith always has some kind of action that goes along with it as well. That it's more than just an intellectual belief, but it's an actual heart belief, Lord. Not an intellectual understanding, but a heart belief that we have. So, Father, I just pray that you show us the areas that we can do that and how we can live that life to your glory, Lord. We pray this all in your name. Amen.